information, according to Brody A. Miller on Twitter. Former LSU athletic director Joe Oliva, who I add parenthetically many people hated for a very long time, except it turns out Joe Oliva might have been onto something about a bigger issue happening at LSU. Lucas brought this to my attention during the break. Joe Oliva recommended in 2013 to fire Les Miles with cause and said the public opinion would be in, it would be in LSU's favor. Now, it's not for football reasons. Lucas, inform the people of everything that has been going on in LSU, and perhaps we could even read to them the email that has now resulted. Give them a little background, and then let's share with them what the email says.
Yes, unfortunately, you cannot fire a football coach with cause for football reasons. That would have saved Tennessee a lot of money over the last decade. But athletic director Joe Oliva sent this email to LSU president F. King Alexander on June of 2013, 3 years before Les Miles was fired at LSU. Said, Bob and King, thanks for the call today. One more time, I want us to think about which scenario is worse for LSU. And this is Les Miles with the reports that he was inappropriate with student workers. A lot coming out over the last couple of days. And Oliva continues, explaining why we would let him go or explaining why we let him stay. Proactive or reactive? I always believe that people are innocent until proven guilty. And in this case, I believe he is guilty of insubordination, inappropriate behavior, putting the university, athletic department, and football program at great risk. I think we have cause. I specifically told him not to text, call, or be alone with any student workers, and he obviously didn't listen. I know there are many possible outcomes and much risk either way, but I believe it is in the best interest in the long run to make a break.
I mean, there is so much there.
And if I remember correctly, Joe Oliva wanted to fire Les Miles right around 2015, and he was carried off the field, right, by players maybe in the regular season finale.
He was celebrated.
The last home game of the year, and they basically were forced not to fire him and ended up firing him anyway about midway through the 2016 season. And so all along behind the scenes, Joe Oliva wanted to fire him with cause because of his interactions with female student workers in the football program.
So I don't want to accuse Les Miles of being a pervert because we don't know what exactly is going on there, and that would be reckless speculation. But it appears that there has been at least somewhat of an allegation that Les Miles allegedly could have been a little bit of a pervert, and that wasn't enough to fire him from SEC college football. It had to be because the football team stunk. I mean, there are just so many different layers. Insubordination, inappropriate behavior, putting the university, athletic department, and football program at great risk. Not even just risk, but great risk.
At the time this is sent, LSU is 2 years removed from, or 1 year removed from a 10-win season. Then they won 10 games in 2013. So I think 10 games, that's the threshold to keep your job for doing what Les Miles allegedly might have acted.
615-737-1045 is how you jump on the phone line. 615-737-1045 if you have any reaction to this before we go get Coach Mack here on the show. This is, like, here's the thing that I get so caught up in is how we protect these guys, especially in college football. The coaches are the faces of the respective programs, the franchises, whatever. So you want me to talk more college football? Here's your college football. This is such crap. It is so wrong. It is so not, you know, we're making jokes at the expense of the situation and of LSU, but it is. I mean, this is scary stuff. When you have somebody who is in such a position of power as Les Miles was as a national championship winning coach, whether he did it with Nick Saban's players or not, I don't give a damn about the football implications of this. This sounds like predatory behavior. And this was 2 years after, or this happened 2 years before they ended up firing him, this email that was leaked to the public. This is so negligent on the part of the university when the ultimate job of a university, especially as it relates to college athletics, is to protect the students. People are entrusting you. Now, I don't have children, okay? I'm 27 years old. I'm a long way away from kids as far as I'm concerned, and it's fine if you have them. I don't know what that maternal or paternal instinct is like. I would not pretend to.
Yeah, you do a little bit.
I mean, I have cats. I have cats. But these people are, these parents are trusting you with their greatest gift, their creation. And you're allowing them to be preyed upon by some quirky football coach who you like at a press conference because he eats turf. What the hell is that? 615-737-1045. Casey is up first on Buck Rise on, this is my show, Buck Rising on 1045 The Zone.
So what's up, Buck? Yeah, so, I don't know. I mean, it didn't take a scientist to see, but Les sure did give off a little bit of Herbert the Pervert vibes to me the whole time he was down there. And I guess it's finally coming out, but I just wanted to let you know, man, you have a very mature voice. I mean, I did not know you were 27. I was at least going to think 36, 40. You have just a very mature voice.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Casey. My voice has been chemically enhanced by smoking tequila for a long time. So I'm, performance enhanced, I guess, if you want to call that. Aging poorly is another way to look at it. But yeah, it's how I pay my mortgage. So thank God. 615-737-1045. I say tongue in cheek that we're not trying to, because there are legal reasons. You don't want to allege somebody is a pervert without, having stuff to back that up. So that is not the waters that I'm trying to get into. All I'm saying is that in college athletics, this is a failure at every level. It's not even in the athletic department, although athletics are what is protected in a way that is just so misguided. And it's not like I have any kind of disdain for college sports. Like, that's not what it is at all. No, Lucas, I don't have any disdain for college sports. I think that people probably ought to prioritize better when talking about college between sports and, an actual education. But these are different matters for another day. And I'm here to talk sports, dummy, so talk sports. And also, I love college basketball, even though the system is rife with injustice there, too. And the NBA has sullied my beautiful game in college basketball with the one-and-done rules. But these are issues for another day. Les Miles is not somebody worth protecting. The record with the football team should not be a reason to keep this guy out of the line of fire just because that program makes tens of millions of dollars or hundreds of millions of dollars a year. I'm sure the books for LSU football look great, especially after that latest national championship. And by the way, Ed Orgeron is not out of the woods either, with some of the stuff that's been coming out from USA Today. LSU is just in all kinds of crap. But who cares, right? Because they got the ring.
Credit to Joe Oliva, though.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a low bar, but I wonder how many athletic directors, for a head coach two seasons removed from an SEC title season, and that was the year 2011, they lost to Alabama in the national championship. So this is 2013. LSU is still very much a contender at this time, and he is urging the president of the university to fire Les Miles with cause. I wonder how many ADs in the SEC would do that today.
Probably not as many as we would like right? I mean, these guys are protecting their paycheck. They're making millions of dollars off the backs of unpaid labor, and I'm not here to debate, college, the pay-for-play model and all of these things that we'll see. Now, hopefully, with the name, image, and likeness stuff, we can start to see a little more compensation. But this, again, another topic. All I'm saying is these people, and I do mean these people when talking about college football coaches, especially in the SEC, do not make them out to be heroes that they are not. Because so often, it's the whole don't meet your heroes type deal. And I don't know how many people have Les Miles as a hero, and I hope it's not many of you, and I hope it's even less now. In fact, I hope it's none of you now. And we'll see what, because I'm sure this is going to get legal. As Andrew Brandt from Sports Illustrated says, there will be lawyers. So I hope Les Miles has a good one.
Is his time done at Kansas, you think? If something serious comes out of this?
God, get Kansas. What has Les Miles done at Kansas that would warrant keeping him at Kansas, even if it was just a football thing?
He's won 3 out of 21, I believe.
Yes. God. It makes no sense. Other than branding, again, because you can sell Les Miles to a fan base, I guess. Kansas football, because they've done a real good job hiring washed-up college football coaches from high-name programs like Notre Dame and LSU.
Well, Kansas, if I'm not mistaken, has kind of helped start this trend of finding cause to fire coaches that have lost a lot of games. And this could be an opportunity for Kansas.
I mean, it worked out pretty good for the University of Tennessee.
Yes, it did.
Whether that was drummed up or not. McDonald's bags or not. But I'm going to get hungry. I'm hungry for more football conversation. 615-737-1045. We're going to have more football conversation with the main man, the main Mac, Coach Dave McGinnis, the Mac Daddy, the only man who I'm almost certain, in fact, I'm positive that my girlfriend would leave me for. Maybe Mike Vrabel, because she's got a thing for guys who are going gray, it seems, too. Coach Mac, the Silver Fox, Titans Radio, coming up next, Buck Rising, 104.5 The Zone. We love to have Coach Mac on to talk Titans. We're getting ready for the pre-draft season. NFL free agency is about to hit us like a ton of bricks. It's going to get nuts here in the next couple of days, Mac, and over the course of the next week before the start of the new league year. You have been a head coach in this league. You have been in many different positions for many, many years across this league. What is the ramp-up before free agency like as an NFL head coach?
Well, it's completely different this year, Buck, and you're right. And every year it's different. You know, I first came into the league. There was no free agency. There was no salary cap for you. So you pretty much knew who your team was going to be year to year, unless unless a guy finally really either aged out or injured out, you know, from your squad. Now, you know, once free agency came in and the salary cap came into being, it's entirely different. And this year is even more unique, Buck, as you well know, and our listeners do too, because this salary cap's been truncated this year. And that's something that has never happened in the National Football League before. Of course, a world pandemic has never happened either. And so the league navigated through that, you know, for the season and was able to get through that. But now we're going to have to navigate through an off season where our salary cap goes from 198 million and change down to 180 million and change, you know, somewhere in that category. So, and most of the time, Buck, you know, Vin Marino and all of the capologists around the league, you do your slotted contracts with your team, usually about 3 years out.
Right.
You know, you slot them for 3 year segments. Well, this is a segment that's a complete anomaly, and it's going to throw everything out of whack. So you mentioned free agency. There will be some players that will be in free agency that if the cap would have gone up as it incrementally normally would have, wouldn't be out there. But the caveat to that, Buck, is how many people have money to be able to capitalize on that. You're going to see a lot of capologists, and most teams, I could say this with pretty much certainty, will start using some paragraph five transition stuff. Paragraph five is salaries, transition it to signing bonuses to try to find some more money within the cap. It's going to be different, but the ramp up is important, and you take it in segments. Because what you have to do, I mean, you've got a pro personnel department for a reason. That's their job all year, not just right now. Their job all year is to look at people that might be coming on the market.
Well, that's the thing that we talked to GM John Robinson about on Wednesday, Mac, is you know, have they approached guys that are already under contract about, you know, moving some of that paragraph five money, the you know, what is their base salary for the course of the season, to signing bonus and trying to get a little more flexibility. And he said, you know, we haven't done that yet, not to rule it out. They are keeping all options on the table, of course, but that's not something that they have yet done because they're focused on the guys who are their pending free agents who are about to be out from under their contracts or who, you know, inevitably will be out from under their contracts as soon as free agency starts. They're focused on bringing those guys back. Now, the financial constraints that you mentioned, Titans got a little bit of breathing room yesterday with the news that the league has finalized some of the rollover money. They're getting about $8 million in new money, so that gives them about, you know, close to nine in breathing room that they'll now have on the cap to make some moves with. If you're looking at the 20 unrestricted free agents that the Titans currently have about to hit the market from Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, you know these names. You've been talking about them on the radio and everywhere else for quite some time. What are you focused on if you're trying to address your guys first, understanding what the constraints are, but you want to try and keep this team as successful as it was last year while trying to advance it to the next stage?
Yeah, and John Robinson, I mean, he always tells the truth. That's why I'm all in on John Robinson with what he does, because he approaches it, you know, in a real systematic way. And he's always going to be honest about it. And he's right. I mean, right now, what you do concentrate on is seeing where your guys that are free agents, you know, kind of starting to get an idea, because you can negotiate with your own guys,
yeah,
you know, right now, you know, with, I mean, you know, in the quote, you know, legal tampering period and, you know, all of that stuff that goes on anyway, you can see, you know, that you can talk to those guys and their agents now. So you've got to get a feel as to what they're thinking. Some guys may be very, very, you know, want to come back, and they may be very interested in having their agents talk and say, look, let's see what they want to offer and let's see where they are. Some guys might want to test the waters, because the waters are going to be different out there this year, Buck. But when you start looking at it, I mean, you've got some contributors, you know, on both sides of the ball, but you start with Corey Davis, who had a great year, who had a really good year. Your offense was the strength of your football team this year. Jonnu Smith is a valuable piece. I mean, he was used in a lot of different ways with this offense. And I would assume that Todd Downing will continue to build and layer upon those types of things. So you start looking at those guys. You've got Jayon Brown that's a free agent. So, but it all has to take place systematically, Buck. You've got to look at all of them and start approaching them with a thought in mind that you don't ever want to approach them and make a bottom line offer, but you'd like to start to get the feel about what the temperature is of it. So that's what they're doing right now. I mean, it doesn't surprise me, because, and look, here's something that you really always have to do this time of year, Buck. And as an administrator, as a coach, as an assistant coach, when all these people start hitting the market, you've got to be really disciplined about keeping your powder dry. I mean, you don't want to be ready, fire, aim. You just don't. You can't do that. You've got to do your vetting, and then you've got to be sure that things fit and that you're acting off of something that's going to improve you and not just acting off of emotion. Because I've seen it happen. You know, I've seen it happen, and it usually doesn't work that way. So the systematic approach that John Robinson talked to you about, the way that he's doing it, that's the way you should do it, Buck.
Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio here with us on 104.5 The Zone, keeping the people's powder dry. That's what Mac does best. I'm thinking about the emotions of it, right? Because the thing, at least, you know, I've done this for far fewer years than you have, Mac, but I'm starting to get, after 5 years covering the NFL, I feel like, sure, I've kind of got a decent understanding of how, sure, these things work, not just from the business side of things, but from a people perspective. Because the thing that I think I would fear as an objective fan of a football team, if I'm being reasonable and rational about it, is coaches and general managers, not specific to the Titans, but just in general, being too married to their own guys in free agency and the kind of contracts that you get tied up in because you are too attached to the players who you believe in, who you drafted, who you brought here. And you think that you have made sound decisions in doing so because it's based off your football acumen that found these players on your roster. How do you balance the emotions of that? Now, you mentioned keeping your powder dry, but how do you kind of balance the emotions of that heading into what can be a very, very unpleasant experience in the negotiation process?
Yeah, you know, Buck, and that's a great point that you bring up. And as I say, you know, the thing I really miss during this pandemic and the off season is I used to love to get out and do events with Mike Keith, with our season ticket holders,
yeah,
and answer these questions from them and be able to be out and talk. And so this is our forum to, you know, to talk to them about that. Let me give you an example. When I was a head coach in Arizona, I was offered a chance to go to Luke Air Force Base and speak to that. That's where they train the fighter pilots for F-16s, to speak to the officers club and to speak to the, you know, to the enlisted men. And then, you know, for doing that, they took me up in an F-16, you know, for an hour and a half, flew the Grand Canyon, did all of that. But in the process of doing it, it's very cool. In the process of doing that, okay, they put me through, you know, their briefing sessions and their debriefing sessions after the quote mission.
Yeah.
And so the thing that they said, though, that made an impression upon me, because I asked them, I said, when this is for real, talk to me about these debriefing sessions, you know, from a combat session, which is as real as you can get. and they said everybody comes in and they call it a nameless, rankless debriefing. Everybody takes their name off of their uniform and they take, you know, the stripes off of their shirts, and then everybody lays it out there honestly what happened. What's right? What's wrong? How can we fix it? If something was a catastrophe, why did it happen? You know, if something was really great, how can we build on that? That's the same thing you have to do when you're evaluating free agents, both your own and others. It has to be nameless and rankless. And by doing that, you cannot put a judgment on anybody's opinion. Let everybody express their opinion and try to make it, and you try to make it as void of emotion as you can, because look, this game is emotional anyway. It's a people business. But the last word of that phrase I just said, it is a business. And so you have to try to keep that balance. And the question you ask is very relevant. And balance is the real key. And the longer you're in it, the more you understand it as to how much the balance is. And but sometimes what happens, Buck, some coaching staffs are in different positions as others, you know, just because of either of non-success that they've had, or either they've had so much success they think they can keep perpetuating it. You've got to be able every offseason, and I loved equating that, every one that I was involved in, it has to be nameless and it has to be rankless and it has to be objective.
It's this is why I love you. This is why you're so great at your job. This is why you're a beautiful human being. Nobody else could compare an F-16 fighter pilot, military briefing and debriefing to the process of NFL free agency. You're an artist, Mac, truly. So let's talk about some of the guys who you mentioned would not otherwise be available in any other year, where you see some of these teams trying to make themselves more financially flexible by offloading veteran players who are still productive but have high salary cap hits. I think you've seen a handful of names. Of course, J.J. Watt was a different thing, and I honestly think the Texans blew that. I think they could have traded J.J. Watt for as many teams who were interested in him, but I digress. I think that when you look at like guys like Kyle Rudolph and Kyle Van Noy and these bigger names that you've seen start to hit the market, there are going to be appealing prospects. It's kind of been the theme of this week of shows. How can you best maximize, as the Tennessee Titans or teams within these kind of competitive windows, how can you kind of take advantage of these one-year deals to try and put your team over the edge and get a player on a contract that you might not otherwise be able to get and let them cash in when things are more normal for another team, but try and win a championship now? When you look at some go ahead, Mac.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. Are you?
I'm rambling. Talk.
No, you're not rambling. You're not rambling. You're doing a hell of a job. Let me just say this. Here's what it is, and it's different free agency, you know, for a veteran free agency than it is, you know, for the draft. And so when you evaluate a free agent from another team, you have got National Football League production film to watch. And what you have to do when you're doing that, Buck, going back a little bit to what I was talking about, the clear objectivity, take the name off of it. Take the name off of the player and just watch the tape. Watch the tape, and you've got, hopefully you've got 16 tapes to watch, but watch them and grind them down and take the name off of it and look and say, regardless of what the name is and regardless of what the past production has been, can this guy help us? Can this guy help us physically and production-wise this year? And if he can, you know, can he help us? Are we at a spot where we need someone like this that can help us in a one-year window? And then if the answer is yes to all of those, then you have to start working on what does it take to get him. As you said, there are going to be cap casualties this year from older players, more veteran players in the league that are carrying big numbers, okay, just because of what we talked about at the beginning of this session with the truncated salary cap this year. But the issue is somebody that picks them up is either going to have that money available to be able to do that and not affect the other things they are still trying to do, or they're going to have to clear money. But the first thing you do, Buck, is you put that tape on and you take the name off of it and you take the past production off of it, because you're working in the here and now, especially if you're talking about one-year contracts.
Am I wrong to be infatuated with Kyle Van Noy, the idea of him on the Titans defense for a year?
Well, I don't know. How much tape have you watched on Kyle Van Noy?
enough to know that he can be super versatile in a defense like this and give them stuff both on the ball and off the ball.
Well, good. If you've done that, well, then you've got an opinion, and that's good. And that's exactly – that's what I'm talking about, the nameless, rankless. You know, and so to me, what did he do? Come out in 2014, right? I remember vetting him coming out of BYU. I think the Lions – didn't the Lions drafted him, correct?
Correct.
The Lions drafted him. I think there was a trade involved with that draft pick. I mean, I can remember a few drafts. Anyway,
it's crazy that you have this stuff just sitting on the – I literally just threw a name at you. This is Rain Man stuff, Mac.
Well, I've done this a while, but anyway, I mean, he could in a 3-4 defense, and you're correct. He could play inside and outside. I think I remember, you know, running. I think his best run at the combine. He's a true 4-7 guy. You know, 6'3" and a little and change, about 243. So he's got those requisite skills. And plus, look, he's played for some pretty good places. You know, Brian Flores brought him from New England down there because Brian had him, you know, at New England. So he knew him very well. So does he have the requisite skills? Has he demonstrated those skills? You know, I haven't vetted him this year. I mean, I'm just being honest telling you, but he has demonstrated that in the past that he does have that. Now, Mike Vrabel, you know, should know him very, he'll know him very, very well. And that's a huge plus. That's a huge plus. But you ask me, would a player like that, because this defense is going to need to make additions at all three levels.
Yeah.
It's going to need to make additions at all three levels. And if you've got a guy that can play multiple spots and he does pass all of those vetting processes, could he help? The answer is yes.
Coach Mack, Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio here with us on 104.5 The Zone. Mack, one more for you before we get you out of here and let you enjoy your weekend. By the way, I'm going to enjoy some tequila that you recommended to me that I have sitting on my shelf. Not only is this man an excellent football analyst, he knows his way about around a type of tequila or two. I got
you know what? You know, because of your nice career move that you made, I may have another bottle of Casa Negroni sitting around somewhere for you.
Oh.
We'll figure that out later on. Are you in the studio?
I am in the studio. I'm sitting here at the Zone Studio.
If you're in the studio, then I know you've got life-size bobblehead Coach Mack watching over you there.
He really is.
Yeah, at some time or another, we may get together and I may give you your new job gift.
I think that would be just fine, Mack. So one more for you on the way out the door, because, again, a different year, a different pre-draft process, a different ramp-up for free agency, all of these things that have been COVID adjusted. This draft, Mac, I know you have already started your draft preparations with Rhett Bryan, with Mike Keith for Titans Radio. You guys absolutely kill it. I'm looking at the notebook where all of the power and the knowledge resides. In fact, I have a manila folder that Rhett came in here and provided me with so that I could be smarter based on all of the hard work that you guys have done for Titans Radio, and you guys kill it each and every year. But this draft, for what the Titans are and where the Titans are in their window, if you want to put a window on it.
Sure.
I am so less certain about this draft more than any other draft because of how many different unknowns are in it. Guys who opted out, guys whose tape is not all that recent. All of the things, the virtual draft process. When we talked to Robinson on a Zoom a couple weeks ago as a larger Titans media corps, he's saying, you know, we're still waiting on universities to organize their pro days so we can decide whether it's even worth our time to send a guy down there or whether we're just going to use our allotted Zoom calls, our unlimited phone conversations, whatever the case may be. I understand that this is unlike anything that you have been through in your career, but you're looking at this from an objective perspective now. How do you just view this draft in general from a talent evaluator standpoint?
Well, the thing that you have to do, and again, John Robinson and his group are highly organized. And so the most organized groups are the ones that are going to be able to function in this environment and take advantage of it. Because you're right, there are a lot of hurdles to jump over in this one. But the main thing that overrides everything, Buck, is the tape. And so, but the issue that you've got with the tape this year is this. You've got some players that opted out that are prospects. You've got some, you know, schools that played a truncated season. So you have, you know, you have another limited look. And then the fact that you don't have the in-person combine this year, which will be the first combine I've missed since 1987. I mean, and it's a valuable time. I mean, you know how valuable it is. You go up there. I mean, there's a lot of information both inside the building and outside the building, you know, that go on there at Indianapolis. And so this year, you've got to trust what you always should. If you're in this business for any length of time, you have learned how to trust your evaluation period on the film. You've got to be able to trust that. But then you've also got to be able to balance it against, you know, some of the issues that some of these players had, because, you know, I don't think any of these players, Buck, are going to have it held against them by any evaluators that they opted out. I mean, if you opted out because clearly you have a COVID situation, well, then God bless you. I mean, but I don't think that'll be held against them, but you've got to trust the tape. That's why I ask you about Van Noy. And it's what I ask people that say, because, you know, you do your work. But I, you know, I'll have people ask me, and I'll be, you know, very nice. I don't get, twisted up about it. I just say, how much tape have you watched?
Yeah.
What do you see? Tell me what you see. And but that's going to be extremely, extremely important. But there are going to be some obstacles you're going to have to maneuver around this year that none of us have ever had to maneuver around. You know, in all of my tape studies, I mean, I've got to dig deep to find tape now, and to, you know, go different avenues to get them to evaluate, just because it's so different this year, Buck. And you bring up a very, very valid and salient point about this year. The evaluation process is going to be different. And so whatever you do, you have to be precise in what is going on.
Yeah, I know it's super critical for the evaluation process, the combine, Mac, but I'll be honest, I miss the bar scene the most. I miss being able to go to Indianapolis, to my college bars, and be able to hang out with all of my NFL friends. It breaks my heart this year, Mac. It really does.
I've been going there, again, as I said, since 1987, so I think that I have built a wing on St. Elmo's with the money that I have spent there with the I've held court in there several times over the years.
This man holds court wherever he goes, and even when he's not in the room, I got a big old cutout bobblehead Mac hanging over my shoulder. Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio, kind enough to give us some of his time on 104.5 The Zone. Mac, it was great to catch up. It's great to see you, and we will share a glass of Casa Dragones tequila sometime soon.
Buck, thank you very much again. Congrats on the new gig. Always a pleasure. Always look forward to coming on with you. See you, man.
He's the best. Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio, the people's coach. The Titans people's coach. Here on 104.5 The Zone. All right, Lucas, it's time to update all of the polls that we have. We put a bow on the first week of shows. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. Oh, man. Oh, man. The week is almost over. We only have one segment left. I feel like this has been such a breeze, and it's made a breeze because all of the people who have helped me, Lucas Panzeca, I'm Buck Rising, by the way, Jonathan Schaefer, JT, Paul Mason, Allison Warren, everybody who was kind enough and brave enough to put me on the air here on 104.5 The Zone. This has been the first week, and I thought it went real nice. Thought it went real easy. So now it's time to, try not to mess things up in the last segment. What we're going to do is what we're going to do at the end of every show. Now, it's got a little crazy today. At Buck Rising on Twitter, R-E-I-S-I-N-G, at Lucas Panzeca at 104.5 The Zone is where you follow the show. We got a little crazy with the polls. Maybe a little excessive with the polls, but the polls are what tell the story of the show. And so now, Lucas Panzeca, it is time to update said polls.
Several polls.
Several
polls today. First one came out 3 hours ago. 668 votes. How would you use the new $8 million in cap space the Titans got with the carryover for the 2021 league year? Extensions or new players? 54% say extensions. The other 46% new players. But a lot of different directions you can go with those $8 million.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I get the 54% of you who want to keep the players who you know and who you like and whose jerseys you probably have, and you'd be pissed off if you spent a bunch of money on a jersey for Jadeveon Clowney and he ends up gone a year later. But you'll always have that Clowney jersey. What else we got?
Over 1,000 votes on this one. Is Alex Smith a legitimate option for the Titans as a backup after his release from the Washington football team? 59% say yes. 41% say no. I feel like some of these are a test. You're testing the audience. The Delanie Walker thing yesterday was definitely that.
Oh, I'm still so angry about that. Yeah, no, I put that out there because we were talking pre-show in our meeting, just kind of, you know, Alex Smith got released right before we went on the air, and I was like, yeah, would you take him as a backup quarterback? It's just kind of tongue-in-cheek. So, One, you heard Mike Giardi of the NFL Network. And by the way, if you missed Mike Giardi, if you missed Austin Stanley, Emery Hunt, Coach Dave McGinnis at Titans Radio, it is all available to you in the Buck Rising on 104.5 The Zone podcast feed. I guess that's what we're calling it. I would say to you that it's not a legitimate option. It's just not. One, Logan Woodside, hugely cost-effective. Two, Arthur Smith seemed to trust him, whether that be the fault of DeShone Kizer and I can't even remember, Trevor Siemian, who they also brought in. Cole McDonald didn't last very long. Nobody is greater than Logan Woodside, it would seem. And he's cheap. And we didn't see much outside of a little bit of a preseason like 2 years ago. But his college, we were talking about him from Toledo. He was a stud. And even in the AAF, for as short as that was, Logan Woodside, okay. I feel like you're okay with Logan Woodside. Plus, as I cannot say enough, he's cheap.
It's two different things. Would you take Alex Smith as a backup? Yes. Is he a legitimate option? No.
No.
Is cold pizza an acceptable breakfast? 743 votes, 75% say yes, with only 25 say no. I don't feel like that's a controversial thing. I feel like that's a pretty popular opinion.
No, I think I was just having it for the first time. No free shout outs, but oh my God, 5 points of pizza. I was in a rush this morning, so I had a, which I'm sure will bear itself out later in the poll. I had a three slices of cold 5 points pizza and a honey almond milk flat white as my coffee today from Starbucks.
We can go ahead and skip to that one. We'll circle back to the one in between. Those are big slices.
Listen, I went to the gym this morning, so I had the cold pizza and then I got on the Stairmaster and I felt a little better about it.
How many descriptor words are too many when ordering coffee? Yeah. Two, three, or four or more? And descriptor words as in like black coffee, that's one descriptor word. Yep. Just black. So we didn't even include one because you have to have at least one descriptor in there.
Correct.
Two, three, four or more. 45% say two is too much. 34% say three is too much. And 21% say four plus is too much.
All right, let's sound this out here. Honey, almond milk, two. Flat white, five.
Five.
Five descriptors of my honey, almond milk, flat white coffee I had today from Starbucks. It's tremendous, and I'm sure I will receive great criticism about it, just as I received criticism earlier in the week for calling a manicure and a pedicure a mani-pedi, but you know what? I don't care, because it tastes good.
This is my favorite one of the day. Should Twisted Tea be considered a weapon? 63% say yes, with 37% say no. I'm willing to bet the 37% have never drank Twisted Tea.
Twisted Tea is without question a weapon. And this will come up later in the poll. We were talking about how I should celebrate the new gig, because it is worth celebrating. And Twisted Tea on the golf course was recommended, but I have a fear of Twisted Tea since seeing some dude just get absolutely pummeled to the side of the head with one.
Would you replace Jayon Brown with Kyle Van Noy? Big topic today. If you were the Titans, 41% say yes, 59% say no.
It's not that 59% of you are dumb. It's that you are displaying the behavior of somebody that is dumb.
As V-Love pointed out in our replies, V-Love chipped in saying, pointless doing these polls knowing how dumb a bunch of Titans fans are.
Now, listen, it's not, I would never personally attack somebody by calling them dumb. But I will say that you are displaying the behavior of somebody who is dumb if you do not recognize that you are overvaluing a player who is his own team, not publicly, but as I mentioned earlier, it was told to me by several people that Jayon Brown is overvalued by the general public within the Titans defense. 59% of you are displaying the behavior of somebody that's dumb. It's okay. I still love you.
As we wrap up the first week of this new show, how should Buck celebrate the first week of his new show on 104.5 The Zone? Responsibly or irresponsibly? Of 571 votes, 83% say irresponsibly, 17% say responsibly. So you know what to do.
Irresponsibly, I'm going to build a cat house by myself in my home while I drink Twisted Tea.
Sounds terribly irresponsible. Has one of these polls been successfully hacked and posted by Jamar and Ramon? Yeah,
this is where it went off the rails.
Yes, no, hashtag petty, hashtag for the fam. 31% say yes, 8% say no, 39% say petty, 22% say for the fam.
Yeah, Jonathan Schaefer out here, motioning with one finger. I will give him another finger for what he has done to my Twitter account, but it is always for the fam. And it appears around here on 104.5 The Zone that it is always petty. Those, I believe, are the polls. And this has been the first week of shows. Ooh, I like that. I like it even more because we're heading into the weekend. I like it even more because I know you're going to hear great sports talk rolling along right here on 104.5 The Zone, the sports talk content. It is going to continue. Blaine and Mickey are going to kill it up next. In fact, I'm going to help them because I'm on that show later in the segment. We're going to talk to you Monday. We'll do a full week of this. You guys have made it exceptional. I love you all. We will see you.